Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonney along with Julie Hayden. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Well, we've been telling you that Biddle Horn's personal attorney, who she hired to represent or not represent the Colorado Republican Party, has an enormous conflict of interest. And it looks like the Colorado Supreme Court says, you know, you guys may have a point. They didn't mention us specifically, but...
No, I don't think they did. So Chuck and Julie, we love your show.
And listening. The Colorado Supreme Court Office of Attorney Regulation has opened a formal ethics investigation into Steve Klenda, who was Britta Horn's personal attorney, over a complaint filed by grassroots warrior and State Central Committee member Hugo Chavez Ray, who joins us now. And Hugo, I'll just ask you, why don't you explain the complaint that you filed and then talk about the letter you got from the Supreme Court?
Okay, well, this has been going on for several months. I think I filed the original complaint back in September. And then the process went through. They acknowledged receipt. And then I got a call from I guess it was secretary or one of the administrators at the Office of Attorney Regulation. And she walked me through the process and explained what takes place, you know, once the complaint is received. And then they open up the initial phase where they look into the facts and the respondent, which in this case is Stephen Klenda. And so they just walk you through all the, you know, all the details of how it proceeds. And then about 2 weeks later, I get a letter from the administrator, the person who was assigned to the complaint, and they asked for a full presentation of all the facts, including references and anything related to the complaint. So that was received, and we responded within the time frame. With I had some good help with some folks that helped me put together the references and the regulations and everything that referred to the complaint. So it was very well put together. We submitted it, and just the other day I got a letter saying that the case is now being moved into the investigation phase. They sent notification to Stephen Klenda, who had 10 days to respond, and he responded immediately, rebutting everything and basically lying through his teeth about everything that transpired, because he's basically protecting himself.
Well, let me interrupt you 1 second. What's the main basis for the complaint? What's your main complaint?
Well, the main basis for the complaint is twofold. One is that the Central Committee on September 27th voted to fire him as the party attorney. The chair, of course, Britta Horn, decided that she wasn't going to have any of that and tried to discount the vote, even though we have her on video showing that she basically acknowledged that the vote was successful. And Stephen Klenda's response to it is that it never got to a roll call vote, so it's invalid. So basically just parroting everything Britta was saying and has been saying, because he's the one that's been doing all the responding, really. Britta never wrote any of that stuff that she put out.
Well, and here's the kicker? The kicker is, in the meantime, Clenda is racking up literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal bills that right now the Colorado Republican Party is almost $200,000 in debt, most of which it owes to him. So it's not like, you know, it's not like this is just sort of a frivolous kind of thing. But Chuck, let me ask you, as the attorney, I mean, I covered a lot of this stuff, and in my experience, it's kind of like doctors, right? They hate to investigate each other. I mean, how your, I guess, analysis of the fact that the Supreme Court Office of Attorney Regulation has actually opened a formal ethics investigation?
Yeah, the Supreme Court on its site even gives the statistics of how many times they actually open up an investigation, a full investigation, which that's what this is. And it's only between 5 and 10% of the time. Some years it's, they get rid of 95% of them. Other years they get rid of 90, maybe at the highest end. So, I mean, all of a sudden now you're part of the 5-10% that they actually look at, because they think there may be a basis. If you prove your facts to be as you've stated them, then possibly there is something in which the regulatory office would take action against the attorney. Now, they don't give you statistics on how many, what is the net result of that 5 or 10% that are heard. I would imagine maybe half of them result in either a reprimand or more. Obviously, they can disbar the attorney.
Right.
Happens very, very small percentage of the time, but so he's facing at least a possibility, and a, you know, I'd say 50-50, something along that lines, of being reprimanded, suspended, or disbarred. Nobody wants to be.
If you're a lawyer. Well, and I think you go, what you did that's so great is up till now, everybody's been complaining about Britta. They want Britta to resign. They want Britta to do this, Britta to do that. But Clenda, all the while, continues to build the party. So he has everything to lose by dropping out, basically, right? Because then he doesn't get paid. Well, now he's got some skin in the game because Chuck is, I think that's a highly unusual move, but he faces everything from, you know, disbarment, suspension, I mean, everything. And so Hugo, I mean,
well, and I have to say, I've read the Hugo's complaint, which, as he said, was really well done and well cited and everything else. I disagree that your gravamen of your case is whether he was fired or not, because that gets down to a factual fight. What's really the gravamen of the complaint, at least to me, and I have a feeling of the Attorney General's office, is that he decided that he'd represent both the plaintiff and the defendant in a legal case. That doesn't get down to a question of, you know, were you fired? No, I wasn't. Yes, it were. It's straight black and white. You can't represent both sides. You can't say, Your Honor, on behalf of the defendant. Oh, that, Your Honor, on behalf of the defendant, I'm the same guy.
Right, and that was included in my original letter to the office, explaining that something has to be amiss here, that this guy represented both the plaintiff and the defendant in a lawsuit, which, you know, I'm no lawyer, but I can't imagine
seems
that being
wrong.
You know,
and because
wrong.
Of that, even if you're not into the minutiae of conflict of interest and what constitutes a conflict of interest, is so obviously a conflict of interest, which is really why Clenda became such a controversial character, in addition to his massive billing and his, you know, endlessly litigating against members of the party. It is the, you know, the real basis of why the Fire Clenda, which he likes to quote, Fire Clenda movement started, because you go, wait a minute, you can't represent, you know, even if we're not experts on attorney conflict, you can't be the defendant attorney for both the defendant and the plaintiff. And of course, you know, Clenda, all Clenda had to do was walk down the hall and say, hey, Bob, who's in a different law office, you know, I can't act as attorney for the party or act as attorney for Britta. One or the other, could you please take it and then give your own separate representation, and the conflict would be gone. And it's so easy, except he couldn't. It's clear he couldn't trust anybody.
Because
He
it's
did not
wrong.
trust
Because it's.
anybody who would
Oh,
say,
you.
wait a minute, why should we let you owe? You owe a lot of money to the party, at least ostensibly, for all these attorney's fees in another case. No, we're not just going to get you off. Now give us 50, 100, $1 billion, or whatever it's going to be. But
And
he could not
also,
trust another
since
lawyer,
the
no matter how, his first cousin, he couldn't trust
we've
to
also
do it
been
because they do it.
discovering some things since the Ray Garcia lawsuit been filed, and they've been trying to serve him on that lawsuit, and it's looking like the guy is working out of his home, because I checked with the Supreme Court filings for attorneys, and where they list, the mailing
They have to
address
list
of the
their
attorney.
office, yeah.
Right. Well, his home address is listed as the office.
And I shouldn't complain too much, so is mine, but
Well,
I'm
that's
not
well,
paying
that's
out
fine.
144
Hundreds of thousands
thousand,
of dollars in leave. That
hundreds of
means he doesn't
thousands
have
of
any
dollars,
clients,
and
right? His
so
only
that tells you
clients.
a little bit about I've had my own law firm with paralegals and associates
Yep.
and everything else, and these days I just give advice. And do not take on big litigation, but he's taking massive litigations in the basement of his house and doing a lot of chat GTP filings or something. But at the same time, he's billing racking up, and the Republican Party, I mean, he's owed 144,000. They don't raise that in a whole almost, two-thirds of a year. They don't raise that much money.
Didn't raise it. Yeah, exactly. Well, let me kind of broaden this out, and this is why it even matters more because. And I'm going to read it. So Russ Andrews, the secretary, who has agreed that the petitions are valid and sent out another email today saying there is indeed a State Central Committee meeting on next Saturday to discuss all of this.
Yep.
But he sent out sort of a scorched earth email calling
And if anybody can send out a scorched earth, that's Russ
talking
Andrews.
about airing dirty laundry in public. And one of the things, and this is why the Clenda issue is so huge, in the letter, he goes over and over and over again the times that he, that the vice chair, Richard Holthoff, who just resigned, who Heidi Genau, who he says was screamed at by Britta for a half an hour and quit on the spot, members of the congressional delegation, all four of them, over and over, he says she refuses to listen to anyone. And then he says,
Other than Stephen Glunder.
That Horn is utterly incapable of taking advice from anyone other than her attorney at the price of some $700 per hour. I mean, what do you make of this letter? I mean, you said you saw the letter.
First I saw the original letter or call, and then I saw the rebuttal by Britta saying there is no meeting, anything conducted will be invalid, blah, blah, blah. And then this latest from Russ rebutting her, saying there is a meeting, there will be a meeting, and we will conduct business. So, one of the things that I've always maintained, based going way back, is that, and I can't prove this, so I'm just this is my own speculation and kind of deduction of the way things have gone. This guy and Britta go way back. He
Yes.
represented
Yes.
her in the Rout County case where
Right.
she was treasurer, and she cost the county somewhere over $100,000. And I don't know the details of the resolution. I think it was confidential, but at
Well, the
the
resolution was it was a dispute over interest on a property tax bill, and the city council or the county commissioner said we'll waive the minimal interest over the 2 years just to settle this. And then she came on saying, "No, you can't do that. There's no, you know." And they said, "Well, what do you mean we can't?" "Yes, we can." So Clinda billed out $100,000 about a couple thousand dollars in interest that the county wanted to waive for a taxpayer, and with Britta screaming, "No, no, no!" And it was a massive waste of time, money, and resources. Bitter, small, Britta Horn, and it really took over her entire
Right.
remainder of her time.
And I
She was
say that to say
virtually
this.
nothing.
I believe that there has been some form of quid pro quo
Yes.
between Britta and Clenda, and in which they agreed that if she agreed to hire him as the party attorney, that he would agree to hide some of her personal legal bills in the billings to the party, which would be highly not only improper but illegal. But of course, you'd have to prove that. So that would take a lot of
The
Well,
way it
he won't
works.
submit. He won't
Well,
submit.
let me kind of,
But let me just
you
note too. He
don't
won't
have
submit
to have a
invoices.
specific agreement. I mean, it's pretty easy to there won't be a written agreement that says,
No.
look, you bill, you pay me a fortune on the party side, and I won't bill you very much on your personal side. That's
Right.
all sub rosa. That's said without even being expressed. I mean,
Correct.
I doubt if it was ever expressed, but I can promise you her personal bills, whatever they are small, and she hasn't paid much in attorney's fee at all. And if you get into litigation concerning that, it'll be interesting to bring that, find out how much he was billed.
But he hasn't, remember, he won't submit invoices to the state executive committee.
Well, that was going to be my next point is we've been, I'm on the executive committee. We've been asking for to see the bills, and we've been stonewalled all along. And it got to the point where Mike DiManna, who's also an attorney, requested them, and he told him, I'll show you the bills if you sign a non-disclosure. And Mike said, no, I'm not signing a non-disclosure. I'm a member of the executive committee, and we're entitled to see the
Right.
bills. And this latest rebuttal that's come out is that in fact the CRC and or the executive committee are not entitled to see the confidential bills, and that certain bylaws can be interpreted differently. And that's baloney. I've been on the executive committee four different times, and I've never had a problem being shown the bills. We're under confidentiality as members of the executive committee, so it's not like we're going to run out and show the press and blow the whistle on anything. We just want to know what the billings are, because I think they would be embarrassed to show that, and that's what I
Exactly.
think. Yeah,
Well, and
so.
here's another point too. Again, an even bigger point, this divide in the party that Britta promised to heal. This is an interesting thing from Russ Andrews. He said initially he said he wasn't really involved, and he called the Dave Williams followers the Davidians, right? The Branch Davidians, which is actually kind of funny, I think. And
I'm
he
a
said,
proud
we're all proud
Davidian.
Davidians. And then he says, I've gotten to know many of the Davidians, the vast majority of whom I find to be charming, intelligent, hardworking conservative Republicans. We have way more in common than we don't. And so Britta is the one who's fueling this. And then he goes on, he kind of quotes you, Hugo, and this is great. He says, here's the thing. Britta has actually finally unified the party. And this is from Ross Andrews, her secretary, says, that's right. Most of us are now united in ousting Britta as chair. I mean,
Yeah.
and then he says, actually, he talks about someone else. Jason Entz of Fremont County is now circulating a recall petition for Britta to be replaced by a candidate both the Davidians, Richard He, and the establishment agree on. And like I said, I mean, comment on that. Like you said, you told him, yeah, Britta's united the party. Everybody wants to get her out now.
Yeah. Well, that is a fact. That's it. It's come full circle in that regard. But like we said, we know there's still a few stragglers out there, like the ones I have on the Denver County Executive Board. She's got her supporters, so to speak, that aren't going to budge, and they're trying to, they're opposing my resolution tonight. We'll see how it goes. I have no clue how the people are going to receive it. I'm going to present, and I'm going to call them out in no uncertain terms, and let Katie bar the door, because I'm not pulling any punches.
Well, and here's the thing. It's like this isn't just about personalities, right? This is
It's not.
literally the future of the Colorado Republican Party. Right now, Britta Horn and her personal attorney, who, as you said, you got to wonder what's going on there, right? Have put the party so deep in debt that they can't effectively work on the 2026 campaign. They can't election. I mean, they can't. And it's who knows, they may never even get out of it. I mean, it's a serious situation here that she seems and Clinton seem inclined to continue.
Yeah, and I'm still kind of dubious about having a state assembly, be honest with you. I'm not convinced that they're going to pull it off. I could be proven wrong, but even if she did pull it off, She doesn't know how to run a meeting, so it's going to be another one of those September 27th scenarios, and we're going to have a big mess in April when they had this meeting in Pueblo. And God help the candidates. I feel for the candidates because the candidates are the ones that need the help from the committee and voting into the primary ballot, and we're going to have this massive headache, hovering over the entire assembly, and I don't have a lot of faith as to it being a very orderly meeting if they have
No.
one.
And really, all we're asking, Britta, is to quit suing other Republicans, to quit running up legal bills and vindictive lawfare attacks, to acknowledge that her attorney was fired. I mean, that was how it started. She could have solved all of this. And as Chuck said, Klenda could have resolved this. The fact that they won't really raises questions. And Chuck, I have a question. So Klenda has been building the party all along, and you got to wonder, like Russ says, he's charging Britta $700 an hour to advise her, and he's advising her to not, to keep paying him. Can he, now that the Supreme Court Office of Attorney Regulation has filed a formal or has opened a formal ethics investigation, can Klenda build a party for that too?
That's a good question. I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him either. I would think that no,
I would think
that his
that
own
no,
personal
that
problems are
this
his and
office is
can be
not going to
built.
let him benefit from a complaint against him.
Yeah,
So
really.
that.
Even if he's like, "Hey, I don't care. I'm making millions. I'm making another couple hundred thousand dollars with this." Although,
Well, I'm sure he said, "Oh, I didn't spend any time on that. That's just 10 minutes, just like that." Nah.
We're getting ready. We have 10 days to file
Response.
the form that they requested, outlining, why we should proceed with this. So that's being worked on, and that should be ready to go here in the next few days. I've already seen what he's going to put out, and they're standing on the same, rhetoric and misinformation that they have had since September 27th.
Right.
So they just continue to dismiss the vote of the Central Committee, the authority of the Central Committee to fire the attorney, the authority of the Central Committee to order the chair to fire the attorney. I mean, so she's just rogue. I mean, I don't
Right.
know. Who does she have on her side right now?
Again, even Russ Andrews is indicating in this letter that he sent out to all the state central committee members, and I'm sure it's out there now too, is that it's not just a handful of people. It's not just, as he said, the Davidians anymore. That there are people who are establishment people. Well, he talks about the four congress. We've heard rumors that the congressional representatives have all asked her to step down, and she refused. But he's talking about,
I was told that. Yes.
he's talking about a November 19th meeting where Jeff Crank initiated a Zoom meeting with all of them and Britta Horn, and they said, "Hey, what are you doing? Are you raising money? What are you doing?" Right? So
Yeah.
clearly, now I don't know that they'll go public, but here's why they're going to fight, Hugo, because this is why what Ray says, "Hey, if I'm still secretary there, here's the thing. My very first phone call will be to Steve Klenda, Britta's attorney, where I'll tell him that I am started at $0 in remittances owed to him, and I'll require him to pick a number that's a fraction of the bills and give some justification." So, that's why he's fighting this, I think, because he, but I think you've done a great job, Hugo, because now he has some skin in the game too. He doesn't, you know what I mean? If he now could face legal sanctions, disbarment,
Oh, yeah, his
suspension.
law license is at stake at this point.
Right.
Yeah,
And
and
the problem is that you can argue about lots of things, but it's clear that you can't be a lawyer both for both sides of a lawsuit. And all the little guy had to do, all he had to do was just go down, get his first cousin to represent either Britta or the party. But he couldn't do that because he couldn't, he knew that it was so hinky that he couldn't trust anybody, so he just kept it in himself. And that is what's, and if you look up the law on conflicts of interest, and they say, once you have a serious conflict of interest, then it just seems to trickle down to everything. And that's what's happened here. I mean, from, you were fired. No, I wasn't fired. To everything else. No, your bills are too high. No, I won't let you look at my bills. Why not? Why can't we? Well, I don't know.
I
You
know
might tell
that's
somebody
just
about it. Hell
huge
no.
red flag. I mean, if you're up and up and above board, what problem is there to release the billings? We're looking at 166,000 right now. I probably would argue it's higher than that, but let's just say 166,000 in outstanding debt with Clenda listed as the single largest creditor at 141,000. So, I mean, so it's all about this attorney that is Britta's buddy, and she's just, I wouldn't be surprised if he's giving her a kickback.
Well, and then, and Nebraska again notes in this letter, he said that's at any more sort of the crux, number one, her incompetence, but number two, he's like, she can't raise any money because everybody knows everything they donate is simply going to pay bills to Clenda. It's not going to go to help the Republican.
Yeah,
What
who's
were
gonna
you?
go? Oh yeah, I got $10,000 is
Hey, you
burning
go
a
ahead
hole
to
in my
pay Clenda.
pocket. I think I'll give it to Steve Klenda because he's a good guy. I
Well,
mean, there's
you know,
nobody out there. Well, maybe they are. There's some dumb Republicans out there, but
relating, I wanted to say this, relating to the elected officials who contacted Britta and asked her to resign, and then she refused. They gave her an ultimatum to raise X amount of dollars by January something or other. She didn't raise even a tenth of what she said she was going to raise, and that date has come and gone. So, and she still refuses to resign, even though allegedly, from what I understand, she supposedly agreed to that to those terms. But she just moves the goalposts whenever she loses.
right.
That's
Let me,
her.
I know, Hugo, you have your own meeting to get to, so I promise we get you off in time. Thank you for the work that you're doing on this, and please keep us
Yeah,
in
I mean,
the
you've
loop
had
and
a
keep us
huge
posted.
effect already. So
Well, I
that's
appreciate it.
really
I'm just
great effort.
trying to do my little part. And I'm not alone in this effort. I've got a lot of help. So we're just doing, seeing what we can and see what we can make happen and stick, and I think I'm really hopeful that this investigation goes somewhere, at the very least, sanction the guy and suspend him or whatever if they see it egregious enough. Like Chuck said, he could be disbarred. And that would be the end of his career. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But this keeps him busy on another front and and concerned. He's probably scrambling to see how he can get out of this one.
All right, Hugo,
Yeah.
thank you for your time and your work.
Hey,
Appreciate it,
great
sir.
to see you.
Thanks,
Great to see
guys.
you.
See you later.
All right, Hugo Chavez Rey again. The Colorado Supreme Court Office of Attorney Regulation has opened a formal ethics investigation into Steve Klenda, Britta Hohn's personal attorney, who she hired also to be the state party attorney. So we'll keep you posted on that because that stuff is starting to happen kind of fast on all of that. Another thing we wanted to talk about, Gabe Evans, Chuck and Gabe are BFFs, not really. And so he's giving Chuck phone calls now, although I suspect it's a robocall. I don't think it was a
No,
personal.
it's not. Yeah, it's not just to me.
And
It's just not just to me.
he reveals his full rhino-ness, and then how much he's bought and paid for by the Americans for Prosperity. So, and Jacob, we'll get to your comment here in a second. Why don't you? What did Gabe have to say to you, Chuck?
Well, I said, "Hi, Chuck, my BFF. As a former policeman, I'm known as, just like there's a bad bunny, I'm known as the bad cop. But I'm also your representative in Congress. And I wanted to let you know that on immigration, he's accused of being in the tank for the Koch brothers who give him all the money through the National Family, wherever it is, Foundation. But he says, if you weren't able to get it, I can let you know that I strongly believe that ICE and border officials need to be going after gangsters and not grandmas. When state laws make it harder to arrest and deport violent criminals, we have a problem. Well, there you really? Hey, thanks for going out on a limb. But We also have a problem when the legal law, when legal law abiding members of our community are afraid to go to work or pick up their kids from school. Legal law abiding, they're not legal law abiding citizens.
Be
They came into
law-abiding
the
at the moment,
country
but they're
illegally.
illegal.
So what he's basically saying, if you can make it past the border, you're set.
Well,
You're
and here's
set until, unless you murder somebody, yeah, then you might, if you're a gangster, yeah, for the few that are gangsters, but the rest can go work for the Koch brothers. The
right. Well,
rest can
here's
be
the
cheap
thing.
labor in the United States. I mean,
He's
it's
aligning
we got a
himself.
problem when the laws prevent gangsters from being arrested. Oh, really? Really? Is that right, Gabe? But when they're afraid, when they're afraid to go to school, I've noticed them. I've noticed them being terrified to go to school. Sure.
Here's the thing. He's aligned himself with the Democrats and the Democrat narrative. They keep trying to frame this whole thing as a humanitarian situation,
Yeah, of
right?
course they
But
do.
actually, it's about politics, power, and money. Gabe Evans and Americans for Prosperity, for them, it's cheap labor. They like open borders. It's cheap labor. It's good for the business bottom line. The Democrats want open, and they could care less about the humanitarian aspects of it,
Yeah.
right? They could care less if their children being sex trafficked. They could care less about any of it. And then the Democrats, on the other hand, it's about body count, right?
Yeah.
They get all of these illegal immigrants are simply bodies that boost the census so they can add congressional seats, legislative seats. They have all these names now that they can use for ballots, for illegal ballot harvesting and illegal, election fraud issues. And that's the thing. It has nothing to do with grandmothers picking their children up at school. It has everything to do with money, power, and politics. And Gabe
Well,
Evans.
but this is my problem. I mean, when's the election? It's 6 months off, 7 months off. And he's this is supposed to thrill me. This is supposed
Yeah,
to,
you're.
hey, how can I knock on the doors for you?
That's why he was
He
inviting you
doesn't
to a
care
town
if he's
hall.
got, but kind of like, hey, I just want to let you know I'm an open borders guy. I mean, I don't want to, per se, I won't say I want open borders. But if the net effect of crossing our border is you're in free unless you are a gangster. All
And here's the thing.
non-gangsters can stay for as long as they want.
And you look at the impacts. Like I said, there's been a ton of, I think, people self-deporting. There have been more people not coming here. Colorado, for the first time, once you take the tens of thousands of illegal immigrants who came here, all of a sudden, Colorado is losing population. Once you take the tens of thousands of illegal immigrants out of Colorado schools, all of a sudden the schools are declining. We got a letter from the Boulder Valley School District saying, oh, we may have to close schools. Well, they've been cheating, I guess, and fraudulently, that they've been racking in money for welfare, daycares, autism studies, you name it, all on the backs of illegal immigrants, really. And they've been just reaping the financial benefits. The schools have been raking in the bucks. All of a sudden, that's all gone, right? And they're like, oh. And so, of course, they want those people back, right? You want, if you're Tim Walz, you want all of these Somalis in there who are running these illegal daycare because they're getting all of this money illegally and then they're funneling it to you, right? You have the teachers unions who have been, boosting their power in the schools as enrollment goes up. Well, they get money, they contribute to Democrat, politicians, so they all want it. All of a sudden, you take all of the illegal people out of the picture, and things kind of get back to normal. And you're like, oh, wait, we don't actually need billions of dollars in all of this federal aid. We can, we're fine without it. And they just don't want people to see it. And Gabe Evans is just part of the whole, money train there, really.
Well, I mean, it's obvious he's trying to get together with Republicans, and there are all of these Republicans, most of whom will go, no, I don't believe that at all. I mean, yeah, no, I mean, you start a, can I contribute to the Gabe Evans Learing Center, for childcare? Maybe get a few $ billion there. Yeah, oh, sure.
Exactly.
I mean, so this is supposed to help him. I mean, it really? I mean, I can see sending out this kind of message to a Democrat or Democratic leading voter, or
Who's unlikely to vote for him in the first place?
or at least a kind of a tweener person, but to send it out Republicans and expect people to just, oh, let me swallow that. Yeah, let me get a taste of that. That's excellent.
Well, and here's from Jacob. So he's talking about Pritzker joining the chorus of Democrat governors boycotting the White House dinner after the snubbing night's chaos. What chaos? It says President Trump snubs, wait, let me, snubs governors Polis and Moore from dinner. Both states are running a deficit. Maryland, like a bazillion dollar deficit. Colorado, only a half a bazillion dollar deficit. And now they want grants from the federal government. It's like, well, maybe if they had managed their money correctly, right?
No,
Then
they don't like doing that. No, that's a
yeah,
bad
really.
idea.
And then he says, this is what happens in the event that Savannah Guthrie's mom was kidnapped by an illegal or illegals. Can you imagine the media meltdown? Well, they won't even mention it, or they'll probably say she deserved to be kidnapped. I was laughing. I mean, it's not a funny situation, but somebody had put in the Babylon Bee. I said, since President Trump came out opposed to Savannah Guthrie's 84-year-old mother being kidnapped, kind of like when Trump said, hey, don't take Tylenol, then all these pregnant women started taking Tylenol. So I guess now the Democrats have to be in favor of kidnapping 84. Obviously, they're all going to kidnap 84-year-old women.
Well, I mean, it's kind of weird, I can understand, Bruno Huttmann seizing the Charles Lindbergh's little baby, the Lindbergh baby one, but man, taking over an 84-year-old mom, oh no, okay, that's okay. You don't have to return it. I mean, an
Well, I mean, there's
84-year-old
a lot.
grandma, that's somebody. I mean, something about this whole thing stinks. And I love you're talking about an illegal alien. I mean, the picture of the person, a hazmat suit, and it looks like, somebody from space.
Was just nasty. I mean, I think Dan Bongino, and we'll just talk about because there's a lot of ways. I think as Dan Bongino said, which is kind of common sense. One, maybe it was a legitimate kidnapping for money. And somehow or another, it's being handled weirdly. Two, was it another crime being committed? And she was just there and ended up getting hurt and they had to get rid of it. Three, is there some kind of other motive, a family motive, or somebody who knew her completely? I mean, it's one of those. We'll see. I think sometimes it might. Experience covering these kind of things, it's with the information or the lack thereof that we have right now, it's really hard to say what it might be. And I think that it's also entirely possible that the law enforcement has information. I mean, we just don't know what they have and what they don't have, right? So all
Well, it
of that.
doesn't seem to have much information. Obviously, a huge amount of resources are being put to this.
Right.
So you would assume that all the if they have this guy who's wandering around in a hazmat suit, you think
Well,
it's
no, it wasn't a hazmat suit. It was just a jacket. It wasn't a hazmat suit. He had a helmet on. He had a mask on, like a
well,
stocking.
no, they say it was partially a hazmat thing to prevent any DNA and everything else
Oh, I see.
from the
Yeah.
scene.
So on one hand, it was kind of, yeah. So who, again, there's so many things, we don't know. And then Jacob, yeah, I'm waiting to see how the media handles the shooting in Canada. The shooter was a transgendered individual. So they're going to drop that too. We aren't
Yeah,
going to
that
hear
doesn't
anything.
matter. He can kill
Yeah.
her. He,
It doesn't
she
matter.
can kill. As long as they're using the right pronouns, they can kill anybody they want up in Canada. That's a
Yeah, and then
freebie.
they don't, and then the media will
That's a
drop it.
freebie.
Kind of like just to kind of bring it back around to the Britta Horn thing. The Colorado, Ernest Lunning at Colorado Politics, and Jesse Paul at Colorado Sun. They've done a few articles on the controversy now and the
Yes. Yeah.
Britta being besieged. They haven't yet talked about an ethics investigation being opened to her attorney. But as I said before, that is an indication to me that Phil Anschutz, who controls those organizations, is willing to wash his hands of it. Oh, we've got Sherry on line one. Hey, Sherry, thank you for calling
Hey, Sherry.
in. Hi, I wanted to just make a quick comment about the Savannah Guthrie thing. Well,
Sure.
okay, it's just kind of interesting to me that she was the lady that was interviewing President Trump about being associated with Q. And she was the one who asked him, is it really true that you're out fighting these people that want to take over the world that are pedophile? Remember that interview? And Trump said, well, is that a bad thing to fight against, pedophiles and people, that are trying to take over the world, basically? I'm not wording it right because I haven't read it in a very long time. But that's who she is. That's who that lady is, whose mom is missing. And it was kind of interesting because when she was giving when she was talking about the hostage negotiation scene,
right,
she used the exact same words that were in Silence of the Lamb. The
yeah,
exact
that's
same
weird.
Words. So she said, Nancy is full of kindness and knowledge. Talk to her and you'll see. And I just, you know, she said it in a very quivering voice, which is kind of weird because then when you guys were talking about the halftime show, well, it wasn't the halftime show, but before the show, Mac Hollins, who was the New England Patriot,
right?
When they pulled up in front of the Levi's Stadium ahead of the Super Bowl on February 8th, the Super Bowl, he's a wide receiver. He stepped off the bus. He was barefoot. He was wearing a prison-style jumpsuit, and he was handcuffed around the wrists and shackled at the ankles, and he had a mask that was like straight out of Silence of the Lambs.
You know, it's weird.
Now you have all the pedophile stuff going on, and the so
there
anyway, the cannibal all stuff.
All right, Sherry. Hey, thank you for calling. Any more? You know, you can't. To me, you can't dismiss anything, right? Because it all turns out to be true.
There's a Jeffrey Epstein angle to this somehow.
Yeah, somewhere. Jacob
somehow
says
that Jeffrey Epstein comes into this.
On that line, that's what the FBI told her. Say, yeah, I imagine, you know, and maybe they did a chat GPT and chat GPT, like, what should you say in a hostage negotiation? And he went back to, it found it from Silence of the Lambs or something, who knows? Yeah, all of that, and I don't blame the family for that, is totally scripted, right? And I think right now, like, the FBI isn't even sure, do we have a hostage situation, right? Was it a burglary gone bad? Was it a whatever, something gone bad?
I like Jacobs that Bill Maher said that QAnon has deserved an apology.
And then Glenn Beck talked about what Guthrie said. Yeah, she's just doing, which you would, right? In a situation like that, you would have to rely on the FBI or somebody's help, right? You don't want to make things worse. And so, yeah, I mean, look at that. That's an interesting case. You know, I will say this. I've been seeing people criticizing and kind of complaining about the coverage that it's getting. I'm going to, in a way, it's kind of like the JonBenet case, right? This is a huge whodunit. And if you're, and now, you know, Sean Hannity apparently devoting all kinds of time to it, but it's a massive clickbait. And that's kind of what the media does, right? So to me, you can't really, I don't want to say fault them, you can't blame them for covering it. It's a huge whodunit. There are incremental developments every day. You got tons of pictures of people, there are famous people involved. You know, to me, it's like, it's going to be covered. And it would have been covered, I think, in any media era, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it. You know, once again, they say, well, why doesn't all kidnappings get this amount of coverage? Because crimes are not covered equally. Since when has there been, some official rule that anybody's doing? All crimes must be officially the same. I mean, it doesn't, how many people have been shot and killed? And Charlie Kirk gets all his attention. Oh, what do you know? Same
right.
With Abe Lincoln. Why didn't people, you know, it's sort of a egalitarian bullshit Marxist garbage deal where they
and
say
it always has been, I would
yeah,
say.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Trump or nothing to do with Biden. It always, you know, when the when famous people get kidnapped or their kids get kidnapped, it gets more attention, sadly, than when other people.
Well, it's just human nature. It can't be, you can't care about all crimes, so you just care about some crime. I mean, the idea that somehow, all right, never mind, never mind.
That's
Since
what he said. He goes,
Frank
Sinatra's son kidnapping had this much coverage. Yeah. So we'll see. It sounds like it's interesting. One thing that's kind of interesting is, you know, nothing ever goes away, right? So she had not subscribed to the reason they initially couldn't get the pictures from her camera was that she didn't really subscribe to it. I guess she must have just used it sort of internally. So it wasn't saved anywhere, theoretically. However, the FBI was able to get the Nest or whatever the parent company was It was somewhere, right? Even though she wasn't, as far as she knew, saving it and recording it was somewhere that the cops could get their hand on.
Right, that was
So
amazing. That was
yeah.
amazing.
So right now, someone is monitoring us, and things you think no one is seeing, they are.
That's
So,
absolutely true.
all right.
That's
Well, anything
absolutely true.
else? Anything else on your mind, Chip, before we wrap this up?
Well, can we do another hour on Jeffrey Epstein?
No. Hey, that will do it then for us. Chuck can do Jeffrey Epstein on a different day. Thank you to Jake. Oh, Jacob wanted to comment. Go ahead, Jacob. You got a few minutes.
The thing that I liked was this morning when they were talking about how they got the images off that doorbell, that they couldn't get it right away, and they had to look and look and look, other servers and other wherever they had outside the system of whatever security system she's using. That goes to show you that they're watching every step of us, and
Yes.
they're putting it
Yes.
somewhere.
Yes, and boys, and yeah, that was kind of my question. Who is they,
Yeah,
right?
who is they? I
Because
mean, that
I'm
the
sure Nest is like, no, we don't have it. But if it's hooked up to Nest, I mean, if it's hooked up to what do they call it, the Internet of Things, like
Right.
your Teddy Ruxpin, stuffed toy is actually monitoring what you're saying, kind of
No,
thing, right?
I have the Ring system, but I didn't pay my bill, so they said we can't keep the recordings of what happens in front of your house. We'll just notify you, but we're not going to keep a record of it. I guarantee you they're keeping a record of it, and they're putting it on some server somewhere far, far away.
That's
And
right. Just in case, if you ever get too out of line.
And
So,
maybe they'll even get a what they call eye reading, or they could read the eyes,
oh, the retina scan kind of
the
thing.
retina scan. They could really already know who it is.
Yeah, I clearly they're using facial rec. I mean, because it sounds like the guy they picked up to talk to legitimately didn't have anything to do with it. And
Well,
why is
apparently
it?
somebody called in and said, "I've seen those eyes before.
Like,
That's Joe."
right,
That is okay. Let's go out to Joe. Kind of like, what?
because his
What? I
ex-wife.
mean,
No, I'm
somebody
just
calls in and just says, those eyes look like Joe's. Wow.
kidding. I was watching an old Batman, and the Joker was on. What was his name? Cesar Romero. He had during his shooting, he the picture shooting, he had his mustache. It was just that the face, whatever they painted his face with, painted over the mustache. But you could see his mustache here. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I know the whole thing is, and who knows, he might have put a fake mustache on, who knows? But you're right. I think, again, I can fault the media for many things, but I don't fault them for covering this. This would have been this is the kind of thing that they've been covering, since they were carving it, I think, in stone. So,
Right.
hey, Jacob, thank you. That will do it for
Okay.
us. And thank you to Hugo Chavez. Ray, we will keep you posted. Big week next week in Colorado Republican Party politics. So,
Yeah.
yep, you'll
We'll
get.
give you a down and dirty report on the meeting and everything else. So,
All right. We'll see
all
everybody.
right. Thanks, everybody.
Have a
Bye-bye.
good. See you next week.